You're listening to the Tipsy Nerds Book Club Podcast, your home for the best of science fiction and fantasy, with a twist. Whether you prefer your stories with dragons or aliens, your beverages shaken or stirred, fill your glass, relax, and join the conversation with your hosts, sci-fi and fantasy authors and proud Tipsy Nerds, Natalie Wright and R.S. Dabney.
Welcome, Tipsy Nerds, to a special summer edition of the Tipsy Nerds Book Club Podcast. I'm Natalie Wright, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Robin Dabney. Hey, Robin.
Hey, Natalie. Good to see you after a couple months off.
Yeah, it's been a fun little adventurous, exciting summer, things happening.
It has. It was nice to have a break, too. A little bit of a... Yeah. I got to read a few things that were kind of on my to-read list that I was putting aside for other Tipsy Nerd stuff, and... It was kind of fun to just step aside from it. I also love being back, and I love being back with something that is tied to the show in so many ways.
Yeah. So today we're for our little special episode, we're talking about the show Silo. It was a 10 episode show that premiered this, I think in May on Apple TV Plus, and that's where you can find it, based on a book, Wool, by Hugh Howie, which we talked about in our episode 4 with our special guest, Hugh Howie. So if anyone hasn't listened to that episode, they definitely should check it out. That was a fun one. Do you remember that one, Robin?
I was so excited for that episode because we had a guest, and it was a guest with name recognition. And at the time I was living in West Texas, like not Midland, Odessa, but like on the border, Big Bend National Park area. And my internet went out for like the whole episode. I had also created a drink that was like a 3-tiered shot that was on fire. And so I think you and Hugh thought I had burned down my house, and that's why I disappeared. And it was like,
saying,
it was
is a she stressful. Okay? Is she okay?
Yeah. And I was so bummed because I was like, really, we have this guest and I disappear. But I listened to the episode today just to orient myself with this. And I wanted to tell you, you did a fantastic job when I just dropped out of there and you had to carry the whole show asking questions and all of this stuff. And I eventually popped back in, I don't know, at minute 35 or something. But yeah, I was like, wow, Natalie did great. And it was a good episode. And the funny thing is, at the end of that episode, you asked Hugh Howie about the potential for the book to be turned into a series. And he was like, you know, I don't know. I'm traveling the world. I don't really care. It probably won't happen. And so it's fun to see it now. Only, what is this? I can't do math. 4 years later. And here it is. And it's a big show.
Right. He had talked about basically how you have to babysit those things. And he wasn't
right
in the mood. But apparently he got his ass back to Hollywood and stopped playing around in Australia on his boat. And And I think we're all the better for it. Wool was an awesome book. We love that book. And then the show, like I said, it's the first 10 episodes, that like a season one release this year. It's all out there so you can... go binge it if you want to. The showrunner was Graham Yost, and the primary character, Juliet, aka Jules, was played by Rebecca Ferguson, who, if you're a sci-fi fan, you might recall that she was also Lady Jessica in Dune, the 2021 movie, the mother to Timothy Chalamet's character. So
Paul Atreides. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. I couldn't think of his name. So anyway. It was great to see Jessica, and she was also, I think, an executive producer, as was Hugh Howie. So that's kind of the background of how the show got there. I think it was in, you know, it's optioned way back, and it's been through a couple of different iterations. Apple TV, though, picked it up, and so there you go. Robin, for anyone who hasn't seen the show or read the book and hasn't had the good sense to go listen to our episode 4 of our first season and get the gist of Wool, could you give us a little setup for like the primary, what is Silo?
Yeah, so Silo is a story set in sort of this dystopian future where our only real idea of what civilization is the 10,000 people living in this silo that is completely underground. So we have no idea why they're there, how long they've been here, been there, what the outside world is like. But you have this, maybe what's left of society, all confined in this giant underground silo. And you have this cast of characters who begin to question the powers that be in the silo, question what's out there, why they can't go out. And so it's sort of, I don't want to say this unraveling of this calm and peaceful structure that has to remain so to keep people safe, but it is, it's you have some murders that happen. You have this kind of this big mystery inside this silo that we begin to see the cracks of what is real, who's lying, why are they lying, and is it truly what is best for these people? And so the main character, you have a couple main characters. It's interesting how the show goes. I don't want to totally give that away, but Juliet, the one played by Rebecca Ferguson, works in mechanical in the down deep, which is the lowest level of the silo. And after some mysterious business, ends up as sheriff for the whole silo, trying to solve a mystery, but ends up playing a much bigger role. And that's sort of where the first book and the show leave off. I had a question for you, Natalie. The show, it seems like this first season covered like half of the first book. Is that, I didn't know if that was just something they had drastically changed or if that's, I haven't read the book since 2019, but I was thinking there was this, a big chunk still that I'm hoping shows up in season two.
Yeah, I think that's right. And like you, I hadn't read the book since then, but I do. My husband, who had read the book, when we watched it together, he was saying, yeah, he thought, like what we're saying, it only covers maybe about half the book. I saw Silo described somewhere as, what was it? It was like the Hunger Games, but feels closer to Fargo. And I thought that was kind of an apt description in a way. It's also like a murder mystery. So you've got, you've got a murder mystery going on. So it's kind of like, imagine you could totally put this in some respects in like a 19th century town in the West where you've got the sheriff and the mayor and there's some funny business going on in the town, but there's a murder and, you know, and someone's trying to solve it. In some respects, it's really like that, but yet housed within this dystopian future that's not certain, right? Like we don't know exactly when this is happening, but we just know it's far in the future. And it's been over 100 years since the people were in the silo. So there's multi-generations that have been raised in the silo. But I also saw someone say that like sometimes dystopian futuristic shows or books or stories deal with the existential question of why are we here? And this one, I thought someone said it was something like, it's the existential question of the nature of the silo's reality.
Yeah.
Right? Like not the nature of our reality, but the nature of the silo's reality. And I thought that was a good way to put it. And that enduring mystery throughout the whole series. And I think it's still to come too, that question of why are they in there and who put them there? And like,
it kind of plays on, like you said, like you don't get the big existential question of like, why are we here? But it really also, like for me, played on my like claustrophobia fears. And it wasn't just if I had to live underground, but it would be like, if I have to live underground and all of history has been erased and I'm not allowed to have even a Pez dispenser from the before times, if everything is forbidden and nobody tells you anything and you just have to go along and everything is always like dark and encapsulated, I don't know, it is the questions it raises, which these characters begin to ask, and that's part of like the good thing and the problem, are these like the only things they can have as existential questions, because they, I think they, their world is so small, they can't even think like, why are we here in general? Like,
right. So I have many questions for you. One is, did you like the show? Did you like Silo? And I think a sub question of that is, do you think it's a good adaptation, like a well-done adaptation of Wool, which I think we both enjoyed?
I liked it a lot. I think, and I watched it with my husband who was new to the story, and we finished the first episode and he was like, I am so hooked. And so, yeah, I again, I think there had been enough time in between reading it to seeing it now, I didn't even notice so much any differences or changes. And I completely accepted as an entertainment consumer the changes that they did make. But I think that the characters were well cast, well written. I think they did a good job translating the material, and Hugh Howey was so involved that I also, anytime an author is involved, I trust when changes are made. I'm like, okay, well, the creator is there, so it's fine. And Apple TV just has such high quality shows. Like, I watched this and it was so believable. I felt like I was paying lots of money to go to the cinema to see a, you know, multi-million-dollar movie. You mentioned this before we got on the phone, but this watching this reiterated how cool of a story this actually is. Because like you said, it's not just a dystopian novel. It's a murder mystery. It's a Western. It's a coming of age. There's so many pieces to it that I think the show showed us really well too.
Yeah, I agree. I think one thing that is, there's so many things about it that stand out, but one thing that really stands out is the creation of the world and, mm-hmm. and Hugh Howey's wool. That's one of the things I think for me that really struck me when I read it was and really inspired me as a writer was the world building. You know, he just really thought through how it would be to live this way. And so I feel like in the show, and perhaps with his guidance too, they just really captured the feeling of the silo to me. You know, it's gritty and it's dark, yet people live there. So it's not like Fallout 4 where everything's been nuked, you know, and everything's dirty. It's like people are living there. And I don't know, it captured that for me in a really good way. The music was spot on, the production quality really high. And then Rebecca Ferguson, her acting, you know, chops come in here, mm-hmm. where her ability to play Jules, I think she's perfectly cast. Like, she didn't look the way I know when I read it, I thought Jules looked. So I was a little, but then when she got into the role and she's, you know, you're watching each episode.
Yeah.
I think for me, it was like, I kept accepting more and more each episode that she is Jules, you know, and by about midway through, I'm like, I can't imagine now anyone else, you know, being in that role. Like, she owned it and she really just, it was, her performance is amazing, as were many of the other performances, but she, I think, just really is the standout in the show in terms of the acting.
I loved watching her. Yeah. I did. The only thing that bothered me, I would say the only downside of the show for me, I think, is that in the book, Jules was less like aggressive, less angry, less almost like making kind of dumb, not childish mistakes, but I felt like she just was like a bull in a china closet in this show. And I felt in the book she was a little more level-headed and not so, and that was okay. But there was a couple episodes maybe in the middle where I was a little annoyed with how she was handling, not the actress. The actress played the part well, but I didn't know fully why they changed the character to make her more, I don't have the word for it right now, but
yeah, I know what
just
you're saying.
More intense and less likable almost in ways.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. I remember when I read the book the first time and the second time, it's almost like the first part's a short story on it of its own. You know, there's the original Sheriff Holston. Yeah. Sheriff Holston. Mm-hmm. And he's investigating a murder, and I just really in the book loved that beginning. I felt that it was so well done, so well written. And Jules plays some part in that, but a lot of it's really about Holston and his love for his mm-hmm. wife and that whole thing. For me, the show didn't capture the deepness of how much I loved that part of the story, though I still was really in it, you know, and I was really engaged. But I think that the show almost does better with the second half. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like it, but I think overall, it just really shows us how much, if you have these mysteries, it's just bingeable watching, because it's like, not only do you have the mystery going on of both Halston and then Jules trying to solve the mystery of why is this person dead? What's really going on with the, you know, why these people died? You got the mystery of why did Halston's wife go to cleaning? What's going on with that? Why did that happen? But then as Jules starts to unravel other things, you get the more big question mysteries. Mm-hmm. And it's such a really good weaving of all of that, that you're just, you can't help but watch the next one and the next one and the next one, because you just like, what is going to happen and why is this going on? And it's, yeah, that building and weaving of the mysteries is so well done. And I think part of what makes it a really good story.
The pacing and the tension too. I think one day we watched four episodes, which is like 4 hours of, I don't know. It was, and then we were just like, wait, what? How is it 1 a.m?
Yeah.
It's one of those shows, which is cool, because I guess there are lots of those shows nowadays, but this one is intelligently done and visually stunning and well-written, and the characters are great. And as you said, the world building, like, you feel like you're in that silo. It's believable. It also doesn't look like a CGI cheapy thing. And so, yeah, you're just sucked into that world and then you forget where you are. And next thing you know, you're waiting for season 2.
Right, exactly. Which is where we are. So
yes.
I think it's safe to say we both highly recommend it to our listeners. Do you think that people should watch the show first if they have done neither? Would you read the book first, then watch the show, or watch the show, then read the book?
I mean, if you're one of our listeners, you're a book person and a reader. So I would always just say read the book first. It's a big book, but it's a great book as well. Yeah. And if you read the book first, then you get a huge sneak peek at what will be season 2. So that's great. And reading the book does not at all take away from the enjoyment of seeing the show. It's still, you get the visuals, you get the slight changes, but yeah, it's there's 3 books in the series too. So, you know, why not sit down, have a new trilogy to dive into while you wait for these next seasons to come out. So definitely recommend the book first, just because that's the way I like to do it.
Right. And we didn't even talk about our drink today. But I think that both of us felt after watching the show that we wanted to drink some of Martin's stash of whiskey. So, and Hugh Howey, you might recall, he has one of his favorite drinks is a Manhattan. So we're drinking, or is it an old fashioned?
Old fashioned. It's old fashioned.
I don't know why I get those two mixed up. Probably because I'm tipsy.
In the last episode, you called, do you remember you called him Wool? we were pretty drunk that episode, and you're like, you referred to him as Wool once or twice. So at least you calling it a Manhattan versus an old fashioned is like, although less funny, it was much, calling a man Wool was so funny.
I started to die laughing. That was a really funny episode to record. There's a lot on the cutting room floor on that one, honestly. That went on for about an hour and a half, that craziness. But so we're drinking something with whiskey in it. In honor of Hugh Howey.
We were calling it Howey's Old Fashioned.
There we go.
Yeah. Well, but you can also find, and I will post, if you've listened to the episode, or if you go back and listen to that season 1, episode 4, I think it's called Get Your Wool Pads, We're Going Cleaning. Yeah. You can, I do talk about the drink I made, and I found a video that's a video tutorial I made in 2019 of me making that shot and lighting it on fire. And I will post that on social media. So we'll do a lot of callbacks for that episode and this one to celebrate Hugh Howey, Silo, and, you know, our own fun and shenanigans.
Yeah. And a big congrats to Hugh for seeing it through and getting this one into production. And it's fun hearing him from 4 years ago talk about, you know, the drama of trying to get that be accomplished. And it also is just a reminder of tenacity, you know, to keep after something. And even with something that was as successful as Wool, it's not like Hollywood's just waiting on it's not like they just take it upon themselves to do this. It's an example of how sometimes a writer or a creative has to just keep at it and keep at it and keep at it until, you know, they get it done. So good for you that he did this.
And sometimes go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just sometimes that the timing of waiting on these things is also beneficial, because this book came out in 2011 or so, and there's a lot of dystopian at the time. And so, you know, if it had turned into a film or television at the time, it might have kind of gotten lost in that. And I think there's still plenty of dystopian out there, but I feel like it's not so prevalent to where this comes out and it really gets to be fresh and stand alone and shine in a way now that maybe it wouldn't have in 2011 or 12. So
that's a really good point. And I think something too, like, because The Hunger Games was big at the same time and then Divergent came along, this is so different than that. This is not YA. It is mm-hmm. not, it's just so different. But that's a really good point, Robin. Well, we will be back in September with another episode, reading a new book, Starbringer, and we'll have both of the authors, Tracy Wolf and Nina Croft, I believe, are the authors of that book. We will have them as guests. So stay with us, listeners. We will be bringing you a new season. And Robin is off for an adventure, and I'm off to do a little book tour stuff. So we're taking a little break for some travel, and then we'll be back.
Yeah, season 5, I guess, is what we'll be starting in September. So we hope you guys will keep going with us. And we've got a great roster of books lined up and lots of cool guests. So yeah, I'm very excited.
I am too. We're still on this crazy bullshit, and we'll just keep
drinking,
talking, reading, and posting.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, Robin, always fun talking with you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. We both do. We recommend it.
You too.
Go read Wool and then watch Silo and have a whiskey, and we'll see you in September. Cheers. Yeah.
Cheers, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Tipsy Nerds Book Club podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, and share the fun with your friends and family. Want a recipe for a cocktail you heard here? You can find recipes as well as show notes, episode transcripts, and helpful links on our website, tipsynerdsbookclub.com. And as always, join us next week for a new episode of Libations and Geeking Out. Cheers.